Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, Laser Time Podcast Network Simpsons podcast, where we go through The Simpsons as a whole in chronological order. Mm. And I'm Bob Mackey, your host. Who else is here?
Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert, and thanks, patrons.
Mm. Thanks so much, everybody. And today we're going to be talking about Homer's Odyssey and not his rockin' ass van, his literal Odyssey. And Chris, this episode aired on January 21st, 1990. What was happening
Indeed it did.
In the world?
This week in Simpsons news, Hollywood unearths Tremors. Washington, D.C., Marion Barry is arrested for purchasing crack cocaine.
The bitch set me up.
And the Fox television network announces an extension to 5 nights a week of programming.
Ooh.
That's, and again, I don't want to reiterate why we do that. Like, this, all of those things seem crazy that they happen in the same week.
That they happen in the same week.
And the idea that, like, Fox, which is now, like, just a regular network, was not for at least 10 years.
No, I remember the Married with Children joke, get into Fox Network viewing positions, and they had to, like join hands and hold up, like, tinfoil and, like, a coat hanger.
Yeah, it was the hardest one for me to get to.
Yeah.
Like, I made a makeshift antenna for my black and white television because I'm fucking ancient.
We had cable, and I remember telling my parents to... I was the first person to tell us to watch Fox, I think, as I recall, because I saw a commercial for the Gary Shandling show, and it looked really funny. Mm. They were replaying It's Gary Shandling from Showtime on Fox.
I didn't know they did that. Okay.
And cutting out, I guess, probably the word shit every two times. But anyway.
This is Homer's Odyssey, and is it a defining episode, you think?
Well, what happens?
Well, basically what happens is Homer loses his job thanks to Bart indirectly, and he attempts suicide, and through that, he learns that his true calling in life is to... fix the world in terms of safety, and then other things happened, and this is a pretty bad episode. I don't like
because it's so anachronistic to who Homer is, but like it sets up to such a major element that like you can't ever question that Homer's job is ever again, because this episode is established.
It does.
And this is, well, there's such massive swings in tone in this one.
Oh god, yeah.
I'd also say, just from the top, that the naming it Homer's Odyssey is so wasteful. Like, it's they said in the commentary, they said this was the first script that was ever completed.
That's right, and you can tell.
And so, for them to be like, what's the first script? Homer's Odyssey. Let's just call it that. Like, boy, you got nothing more creative than that?
They've had, what, 500 plus episodes? Yeah. They've reused puns before. There's like two bedknobs and broomsticks puns in Simpsons titles now. So
out of all the clips I've captured for Simpsons episodes here, I have the most for this one.
Wow, okay.
Because it has so many firsts.
A lot of firsts in this one. Not for Crab Apple, but...
Not for Crab... But I have a clip of her just because, like... This is, again, like, there's no tone set in place for the show.
Yeah.
I will play this one. But, like, this to me just sounds like a fucking Disney movie. And there's no other episode I can think of that does this. This is how early it is.
Look, there's our school again.
Otto, are you sure you...
It's a shortcut, Mrs. K. Trust me.
Mrs. Krabappel!
Art, not another word out of you, or I'll subject you to the humiliation of making you sing in front of the class.
Can I pick the song?
No. The song will be John Henry Was a Steel Driving Man.
Oh, no.
I only play that because, well, like, if you don't know, you have to know who we are if you're a patron to hear this.
I hope so.
But where we come from, video games. And, like, the video games are fascinating to me because I played all of them, good or bad. There wasn't the video games had to start production so early, and The Simpsons was an instant phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to see these episodes. Like, you would never recommend anybody go watch Homer's Odyssey again.
As a historical curiosity, maybe, but not to be
like
entertained.
Birth of a Nation.
It is established.
I wouldn't go that far.
It has established so many things in video games. And
you're right.
And so, like, Ms. Krabappel threatens to make him sing. And when he does, it's that John Henry whatever song.
Da 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 da. Whoa!
That is a virtual, that is Bart's nightmare.
Yeah, so
that
late.
Is a victory jingle.
Wow, really?
Yeah, da 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 da. Whoa!
Wow.
Also, Chris, Smilin' Joe Fishin.
Who I also have.
I love Smilin' Joe Fishin.
Who predated Ross Perot, not in reality, but
I don't know, but I know someone who does. Smilin' Joe Fishin.
Hi there, energy eaters! I'm Smilin' Joe Fishin. Your atomic tour guide to the strange and exciting world of nuclear power. And these are rods of uranium-235. Hi, Rod.
Hey, Rod.
I think if this was season 2, it'd be like, hi, I'm Troy McClure.
Yes.
Now it's time for your friend, Nuclear Power.
I'm pretty sure there's no Phil Hartman.
No, not in season one. Yeah. Bart Goes to Hell was the first one.
This is their first educational parody, educational short parody,
it
right?
It was their first parody.
I watched Jurassic World somewhat recently, and it was like, what was first, Smiling Joe Fission or Mr. DNA? And now we know it is Smiling Joe Fission.
Doesn't Fission still, is he still on, if they ever see a Springfield Isotopes game, aren't they the, isn't he the mascot?
I think it's just like the Isotope, like,
logo.
They didn't have one, which is why Danson Homer became a sensation. Well, more on that later.
I want to give
a first and a death rattle.
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is, death.
R.I.P. Blacksmithers.
So normally,
let's get to that later.
I know. Normally our jingle for like. I love putting that in context of, for people who say Simpsons sucks. It's like the show has been on so long, you have no contextual comparison. For how long? There's no show that's been on as long as The Simpsons. And to put that in context, I'm always like, this joke was better. I'm like, you saw this when you were 10, and you saw it once every 4 weeks until you were 20. You don't have another show where you can make that comparison.
Yeah.
But to show that off, I highlight who's dead. This is a This is a voice actor who is dead to the show. But The Simpsons sprang out of what?
Tracy Ullman
show. And one of the cast members, I would like to know what happened to Sam McMurray. He has a great scene in Raising Arizona.
Sam McMurray's great. He played the father on Freaks and Geeks.
Major Mordecai. Yes.
I thought you were
going to
mention someone else.
No, he was. But Sam McMurray was a cast member on Tracy Ullman's show and did some Simpsons voice work.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Given no special guest star treatment, but I'm guessing somebody along the line declined to have him participate or vice versa.
I defy anyone to tell the difference between these donuts and one baked today.
Hey, the boy's supposed to be here any second on a field trip. They been through here yet?
Come on, Simpson. They wanted the kids to see you sitting around on your butt and stuff in your face. They take them on a tour of your house.
You're right. I gotta get where the action is.
It's weird.
I didn't know that was
Dan Castellaneta, Julie Kavner, like all these people were.
They work together all the time.
All on the Tracy Ullman show. Wow. And Sam McMurray disappears completely and has never, ever been
brought back. I wasn't
sure
who did that voice because I was like, this is not a voice actor that I've heard
before. That would have been Lenny or Carl.
And yes, if you're watching these along with us while we do them, you can't, it hasn't happened yet, but one of the weirdest things in first season episodes is hearing Julie Kavner voice. People who aren't Bouviers.
Yeah.
And that does happen too.
But as Henry said, there are none of the nuclear power buddies like Lenny Carl. There's another guy that's always around. He's got glasses.
Oh,
guy.
Yeah. Charlie.
Charlie, that's right. Yeah. Thank you.
He dies every once in a while.
He gets sucked into tubes and.
Yeah, he gets sent to India to dance for people.
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, but. Oh, God, that tube
and,
joke is
as far as
that's neither here nor there.
As far as my first, I'll rattle through these as quick as I can because they have accompanying sound clips. It's the first ever Moe's prank call.
Yeah.
Moe's Tavern.
Is Mr. Freely there?
Who?
Freely. First initial is IP.
Hold on, I'll check it. is IP Freely here? Hey, everybody, IP Freely. Wait a minute. Listen to me, you loud
good
problem. Breakup. When I get home to you, you're dead. I swear I'm going to slice your heart in half.
So that is, and that's the first Hank Azaria voice we've heard on the show, I think.
No, right? Moe was on the show before. He's the voice of the guy chasing away Santa's little helper.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
You're
production-wise, right. This could be the first.
It could be.
Area.
It could,
well,
could
that
be.
And
right.
That there was a Mo recorded. Like he probably had record over somebody else.
He was
there.
The original Mo was fired, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Collins, who actually does Burns in this episode, there are three episodes where his vocal tracks are still preserved.
Mm, really.
And after that, I guess he didn't get along with Sam Simon. He died tragically young in 1994. But he left the show halfway through the production of the first season, and Hank Azaria and Harry Shearer basically took over his character. So he was a voice actor. I think he did the first Cobra Commander.
Yeah, he's Cobra Commander in Starscream. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. And
he was going... He was in the first season of Simpsons, but something they barely like talking about on the commentaries, I think because it's almost a slight legal matter. I think they're probably told...
It could be,
He could ask for residual, or his estate could ask for residuals if we say he was part of the show.
Yeah, I don't know if part of the Actors Guild is you get payments for your character if someone takes over. I don't know. That's a weird Crispin Glover situation there.
Yeah. Well, then there was Rick Cherry and Terry as well.
Well, first,
I guess they're in the opening. No, they're not.
They are in the opening.
Oh, yeah. They're in the music class.
But The he first ever, and this is not very notable, Duff commercial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Loaf Time, the cable network for the unemployed. We'll be back with like more tips on how to win the lottery right after this.
Unemployed, out of work, sober. You sat around the house all day, but now it's Duff time. Duff, the beer that makes the days fly by.
Remember that wonderful Duff, Duff
beer. Well, there's a temporary solution.
You know, having been unemployed since this episode, I really identify with that.
I really did too.
Drinking will make the time go by.
That was something as a 7-year-old made no sense to me. And now watching it as somebody who has been unemployed, like, oh yeah, you just have free time. And sometimes you want to lay on the couch and just stare at the ceiling. And as the commentary says that the Duff jingle was by Sam Simon. They said he wrote that. So,
and this episode has a very being an adult now, I recognize this, a very accurate depiction of depression.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not like crying or moping. It's just like being catatonic.
Yeah.
And this episode shows that off greatly.
Well, he has this quick line,
plot goes that Bart goes to visit the nuclear power plant. Homer tries to impress him and gets fired in front of his son.
Homer's tiniest infraction. Yeah. Over a history of infractions.
Jesus, yeah. What, he knock over a pipe? Holy
yeah,
shit.
And then he's fired by Sherry and Terry's father, who's never been seen again, technically still an employee. And so then at the start of the second break, Homer says, I can't get a job. I'm just a big old failure. I was like, I've kind of felt
said that a
too.
Lot to myself.
That felt informed, but the course Homer goes on it, I guess Odyssey is the right name for this, because he goes through a shitload of stuff.
Yeah.
And really, if you don't count the first act is a Bart act. So really, it's just the latter 15 minutes of the show. He goes from like trying to get a job to fire to trying to kill himself to then deciding, oh, I'm going to be a safety guy, to getting his job back.
All like 13 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we talk about how fast-paced Simpsons are like now.
And I think Bob mentioned in the last episode, the first season is riddled with notes being read aloud.
Yeah.
And this stuck with me because I grew up, you know, watching Looney Tunes where people, like Daffy Duck kills himself several times, Bugs Bunny shoots himself.
It's
like
a good way to end a scene in Looney Tunes.
But I can only do this once.
This is the first time I've ever seen suicide used in a cartoon non-comedically. Mm-hmm. Homer writing a suicide note.
Dear family, I am an utter failure, and you'll be better off without me. By the time you read this, I will be in my watery grave. I can only leave you with the words my father gave me. Stand tall, have courage, and never give up. I only hope I can provide a better model in death than I did in life. Warmest regards.
I like that bit.
Love. Homer J. Simpson.
Yeah, that struck me as one of my favorite lines of this one. Even though I don't like the episode.
That in his note to his family, he's thinking like, warmest regret, love. I should say
you're right. I didn't actually see the comedy in that until you pointed it out.
Yeah. Like the whole don't give up, I'm killing myself.
Never give up.
I hope I can be a better example of never giving up in death.
But how I introduced it was completely wrong. I thought, because I was like, I wanted to point out if Simpsons were to make someone write a suicide joke, there'd be jokes in it, but even up until this recent viewing, I didn't see the joke in there. I do now.
Indeed.
No,
but
me too.
But it's way too subtle for a suicide note.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I noticed that was a joke. Yeah. So you're not alone.
In first season, there's so many things that like, your instincts are there. This is a good joke, but you don't know how to tell it right in animation.
I think
too subtle.
Even played one. It was like Homer in that scene where we're at the power plant. He's like, you can't even tell these donuts are a day old. So clearly they're being fed like old donuts. Yeah. And that's a joke, but it's not like sold as a joke. It's just like, you know, a background dialogue or whatever.
And then meanwhile, sometimes when Sherry and Terry had halos over their heads, this is garbage.
It's like, where are we, Rugrats?
Yeah.
Pull over.
There's a good one from the beginning from Otto. I just want to burn this clip off.
Otto is very much sounding like Tommy Chong in this. He's way too
hey, Otto. Yeah. Hey, Otto, man.
Hey, Bart dude.
Any new tattoos, Otto?
Oh, funny you should ask, man. This morning I woke up with this one.
Whoa, I want one.
Not till you're 14, my little friend.
I think I captured that because, like, production order-wise, Bart had already had a tattoo in accordance with the airing.
As we'd seen it.
Yeah, that was a weird, like, kind of, like, continuity thing.
Yeah.
But then they tried it. Well, same with accidental continuity they have in this, or maybe they just did it after the fact. they talk about Bart losing his arm in the next episode by putting his hand out the window on the bus. In the next episode, that's how Herman's – that's the joke of
the
Herman saying how he lost his arm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, in Bart the General, that's Herman's joke.
Yeah.
And by the way, in this and in the next episode, Otto is as present as any secondary character.
Yeah.
There's so much Otto.
Well, because I think it's because the show centers around Bart so much. And when the show stopped doing that, we didn't see Otto as much either.
And I feel like it was the first realistic depiction of a school bus driver. It's like, you do not end... Okay, I'm sorry if you drive a school bus, but most of the time you don't end up in that position if you've made the right choices. And like all my school bus drivers wore burnouts or like unshaven or stinky. And I'm sure the job was awful.
I had mostly overweight women over 40.
Yeah. That's what I had. My grandmother, I believe, did it in the 50s. She would drive a school bus.
I have nothing but sympathy for you if you
do. No, but it's also... When I do think about it in that context, like this person is... a teacher. She goes to college. She learns how to train your children, and how to rear children, and teaching methods. And a bus driver is given 8 times as many children with no education or
and
advice
the power
or
to
guidance.
Kill them at any moment.
Yes, yeah. And then is also told to drive a bus.
Yeah,
and the worst I behaved was on the fucking bus. I feel bad for every bus driver I've ever come in contact with.
I forgot that Otto's jokes were like, I got a new tattoo. Like tattoos on Otto were the running joke. I even remember that on the Simpsons card.
He's introduced as being hungover because he's like, when you party hard, you end up tardy, bro, or whatever. I forget what the joke
was.
Yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah,
and apparently they say on the commentary that his look was inspired by Wally Walidarsky, the co-writer of this. So he apparently looked like
who later Otto. Regretted it. I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
I miss this. Otto isn't as pathetic as like the episode that's dedicated to Otto makes him look like the most pathetic person.
Yeah. When he goes, I had mustard. Oh my god! Thank you, Chris. And I stumbled up on the same line at the same time.
Oh, these aren't even mine. Until you can get your own underpants, Mister. You're suspended.
I think they blew all of their good Otto lines in that season 3 episode. Yeah, but
were born a man, right? You can tell me. I'm open-minded.
Patty
good. Those are funny lines.
They're great. I do want to talk about the latter half of this episode.
Sure.
Or at least, Homer tries to kill himself. In the process of killing himself, he has to rescue his family from a street that should have a stop sign.
I'm sorry, I have a clip of that.
Good, cool.
If they think I'm going to stop at that stop sign, they're sadly mistaken.
That's my line of the week.
Is it?
I think so,
it's a great line.
That's one I didn't deconstruct as a joke. But
not until now, actually.
Yeah. If you think I'm going to stop at that stop sign, but I can explain a joke.
Yes.
This is a joke moment.
Yes.
That's the joke.
I had Burns down just because like it's the first time. The first time we see Burns is funny,
and I believe he is actually voiced by Christopher Collins here.
Really?
If I didn't say that, yeah,
it sounds like
it
Harry.
Does sound like Harry Shearer, but like I don't know how talented Collins was.
I mean, he was very talented.
I can't do it, Mr. Burns.
You mean you're willing to give up a good job and a raise just for your principles?
Is that not sure?
It could be him. The wiki lied.
When you put it that way, it does sound a little far fetched. But that's the look you're looking at. And I vow to continue spending every free minute I have crusading for safety. Of course, I'd have a lot less of those free minutes if you gave me the job.
You're not as stupid as you look, or sound, or our best testing indicates.
That gave me
That's
a good
a
laugh.
Great line.
I love that. I actually really
I,
like
do,
that.
I have another. I want to see if
Nuts
we're
to
not
this.
Positive it's sure.
The wiki.
Homer Simpson.
Sounds
at
like sure.
At last we meet.
It could be sure, yeah.
Same here.
Simpson, I want you to rejoin our power plant family.
Sorry, no can do.
Hear me out, Simpson. I don't want you to come back as a technical supervisor or supervising technician or whatever the hell you used to do. I want you to be in charge of safety here at the plant.
Safety? But, sir, if truth be known, I actually caused more accidents around here than any other employee. Or even a few doozies no one ever found out about.
Truth be known is such an awkward line for Homer.
Yeah,
strange. Yeah.
It's kind of antiquated.
As fact may have it.
The Simpsons wiki probably lied to me, or they were wrong. But I know Christopher Collins is recorded.
You just
somewhere.
Talked about residuals. Like it's possible they had Shearer re-record
for the DVD. Yeah,
I mean, like even for further
true.
Episodes, and not that's something they would absolutely
when Chris,
do.
Well, I know
maybe
Chris,
for syndication.
Yeah,
maybe.
I know Chris Collins is the flower shop manager in the Some Enchanted Evening.
That guy.
But, okay, but what's the big change you've like after the stop sign? Thing.
Oh, I mean, what I don't get in this episode is Homer's arc, and I'm kind of just understanding it now, but it feels like writers writing themselves out of something rather than doing the logical thing.
Yeah.
So he like rises to prominence becoming a safety guy in the community, And then Mr. Burns notices this when Homer tackles the power plant issue. And he's like, I want to hire you. And the compromise is Homer was like, I don't want to stop doing this. So I want to do this at the same time as my job you're hiring me for. But let's say if you hire me, I'll have less time to do this. So that'll be the compromise. Is that what it is? It's just so unclear. Like, I'd rewind to the dialogue.
He wouldn't say the thing Burns told him to say. But
yeah, that was because he had to go out and deliver and like declare the plant is safe. And he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But if you give me the job, I won't not say not say that.
I think it was like, I'll have less time to be up your ass about this. And that was, I don't know.
The way Burns' reaction led me to believe like he thought it was a negotiation tactic. Yeah. I reject this notion of the negotiation, but I'll do this.
Oh, and and Smithers is black.
Smithers is black.
It's so distracting.
There's also a black Flanders-type character introducing Homer, who's like has a Flanders mustache, has a Flanders voice, has a Flanders sweater.
He is a Flanders. Yeah, that's right.
And you know, we have another first.
They apparently said black Smithers was because they wanted more black characters with lines on the show, but then I guess they changed their mind like, well, but not Smithers.
They have the yellowest cover. I think it's almost problematic to introduce black characters into the yellow universe. Had everyone stayed yellow, they would...
No multiculturalism in Springfield.
But you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't. It wouldn't matter. It's just like, this is just the tribe of Springfield, and they're all fucking yellow.
Well, we had a white Lou. Was it earlier or later?
We did. Later.
A disgrace.
Yeah. And also first Wiggum, I think. Blue hair.
With another first too, I believe.
Next on the agenda, Police Chief Wiggum will give us an update on our graffiti problem.
Well, now, Taker, our city is under siege by a graffiti vandal known as El Barta. Police artists of a composite sketch culprit. If anyone has any information, please contact us immediately.
Cool, man.
So I remember that
old
distinctly being obsessed. Yeah, being obsessed with the lore behind Bart and the El Barto thing. There's no internet, so all I can do is look for clues in every episode. And it's the first time I think anybody says El Barto.
But it could be the only time.
Yeah, I think it is the only time.
It just was a background joke.
It was a background joke that El Barto was here, was spray-painted on certain Springfield landmarks, and we all assume Bart did it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of... It was ambiguous confirmation from Bart's cool man, he says when he looks at the composite sketch, which kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing. Like, of all the jokes that went away, I think El Barto was so big when you were obsessed with the seasons in the first two seasons, and it's gone.
And sitting behind them in that scene is Jasper.
It is the first
Jasper. I wrote that down.
Oh, nice.
Jasper has a line in the next episode in Bart the General, but he's in this one, and he's just sitting there watching Homer give his thing. So that's something too. Okay, the suicide is what troubled me the most because it's not that it's like, oh, it's so out there, but I think Homer has decided to kill himself many times on the show, really.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when he became famous for rolling a 300 game, and then he was sad he wasn't as good at dealing with fame as Ron Howard, so then he jumped off a building.
And people were mad about that, but I guess they forgot that the show went that dark with the first written script.
But the difference in this one is that they're so real in this one. In the one I just said, he's living in the Springfield where Ron Howard and his family are driving down the street, and he says, "Hey, Ron Howard, that's the Springfield." Then in this Springfield, Homer doesn't have $5 for beer.
Yeah.
Like, that's how real they are. And so he's like, I will kill myself. And then how do you even talk with your family after, like, when you
just
imagine
your father
just is, you met him trying to kill himself.
That's like behind the music level of like shitty parenting.
How do you even talk to your dad after seeing that and after reading his suicide note?
Yeah, I feel like after he saved their lives, they just kind of put it behind them.
Yeah. Well, March...
I think that's a great animated sequence, by the way, the boulder and him pushing the family.
Yeah, like
away.
There's lots of little
really
observational touches.
And it actually had a real... I had a good line that made me chuckle where he struggles to walk this boulder all this way. And then he gets there, he sees the boulder there, he's like, he's like, oh, man.
That was a great Simpsons
joke.
It's gone too fast, and it's one of those things I never hear anybody quote, but that was, to me, the line didn't read well in audio, but that's my favorite moment of the whole episode.
Oh, and also that the season one Burns office is horrendous.
It is like a nightmare of colors. Like, after that, it would be much more stately and, like, dignified, but they're just like, I don't know.
They didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah. It's one of those things
they at least had the bear that stuck around.
The bear was there,
the bear.
I love to point out the old-timiness of the Simpsons world, as in, like, the clown hosting the cartoon show, or everybody goes to church. I'm sorry, maybe... somebody listening goes to church every Sunday, but it's just like, I don't know, I literally know
or
no
parents
one.
Beat their children regularly.
But one of the things, it's stupid to point out, but like, it's just from like all old books you read, that the boss had a veranda at a factory. A boss would have a veranda to address his employees below.
Yeah,
that is a thing that happens. It's in all old movies, old books, old TV reels.
They kept that much at least, right? Like Burns would address people from like a balcony at some point, but maybe not from his office.
He gave the inanimate carbon rod. But it comes and goes from the back of his office. But it was, I don't know, that's old-timey is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also when he... You know, you talk about what people hate, some No Homers Club people hate about later season of Simpsons, that Homer will catch on fire or he'll have such like an extreme like mm-hmm. Wile E. Coyote violence done to him. Mm-hmm. And this episode ends with him falling off like an 8-story building and yeah. being caught mm-hmm. by a crowd of people.
I was kind
and
of
he's
like
I'm okay.
And no fade to black. The credits come over the cartoon itself.
That is weird. I was kind of like a old TV Simpsons stickler at that scene. Like, he should have died. That guy should
so
be
you
dead.
You were already on the internet talking about The Simpsons?
No, I mean now I was. Would've. Like, I wanted to go back in time and write an angry quote.
Wendy,
angry comment.
There was another scene there. Something I noticed a lot in animation in these early episodes is the artist drew neck fat on Homer. When he would look up or something, he'd have a fold of neck fat over the back of his neck.
They also drew these extra lines like around their mouths so they would like jut out past their faces. It was like really expressive,
it's stretchy mouths. It would sometimes go past their ears.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird, I don't know, I feel like that was like the old animators kind of adding more, I don't know, stylistic touches to it.
Yeah, it is a really weird episode. And again, Marge is nobody in it.
Like, yeah, she is just like adding commentary in the background,
I guess.
The
best thing she does is like a not that great one-off joke of, well, I could get my old job back. You think you can still do that?
And it's just her being humiliated.
Yeah, just her being a roller, because I guess she had a job in like, what, the 50s?
Oh, no,
as
I
roller
had written down that like Smithers wasn't the only person who was black. Mm-hmm. So is Sherry and Terry's dad.
Oh yeah,
which is only distinguishable because like everyby is either black, yellow, or Wendell.
Like Wendell, yeah.
But Sherry and Terry are colored lighter than normal.
That is true. Yeah.
And their dad is black.
It's a weird Doug Funny style universe that I don't quite understand.
Yeah, they also just kind of got rid of, like, it's rare to see Wendell. The only times you'll see Wendell is when they need a bunch of distinct kids in a scene. If they need a 12th kid to say a line,
and
Wendell
that's what we should do
say.
An article on, like, everybody sitting in Bart's classroom. Like, give them their bio and their database.
I read on a message board, someone made a thread about the girl in Bart's class that has green glasses.
Oh.
And there's, like, every appearance by her. It was just, like, a joke, but she shows up a lot.
Wow. And I had as a note that Burns is treated as like a rare appearance and animated more than most characters, but it makes him look fucking drunk like the entire time. Like,
there are several. That's when they got so animatorly with him, but it was almost too much. Like his hand flourishes and he's like, "Well, Simpson," he just moves his head back and forth.
I feel like there were no mouth charts. Like animators just animated mouths as they saw fit because there was no like, I don't know. It wasn't a streamlined production. Just like, here's your scene.
Yeah.
Do it and then get it out.
Most of the time the people are so static and then you see Burns. Is like this so embellished animation they don't fit.
We also haven't seen, what did you call it, like the side mouth thing that they do?
Oh, the twister
on.
Mouth.
The twister.
Yeah.
Mouth.
It's when like the top half of their mouth, their head like twists, but their mouth stays. I think it looks cool, and they showed up like in season 4 at the latest.
Yeah. Well, as they explained on the commentaries, they said they would do them all the time in the first season, and then in the second season they said you can do this once per act. Third season, they said once per episode, and then by the fourth season, like, you don't get to do it anymore.
Was it something like the animators were so eager to do this?
Wes
please.
Archer is identified as the biggest fan of the Twister Mouth.
Yeah.
He loved doing it.
Did he do this episode?
I believe this was a Wes Archer.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't want to pick on these guys, but this episode is basically my highlight episode for hideous background characters.
Oh, goodness.
And I want to do a post on your site, Chris, about the most disgusting background characters in The Simpsons in season 1, because there's a crowd scene at the end, and I just tweeted this. This tweet's probably going to be weeks old by the time you see it, but it is of the crowd that Homer's addressing during his speech at the end.
Yeah.
And there is like so many hideous characters, but there's one character that's just like two Bart heads that are conjoined together. That
staring
are just, like,
at the sky.
Yeah, like
I want to blame Gabor Chupo on that.
Maybe
one.
He just had that scene or
that
something.
All those that they were the production team until the fourth season, and I think they added all this dumb crap. Like, this will be a funny joke, and the writers didn't have as much power then to say, "You draw, we tell you to, slave."
I don't
like that relationship with animators either. But.
I don't want to throw Kleski Chupo under the bus too much because they were just figuring out how to make this, and I think season 3 is the best looking season period in terms of animation.
I'm
but,
more of a four guy, but
four's great too. But that's the first film Roman season. We'll get to that years from now, right?
Yeah.
But
technically, yeah.
But yeah, this episode, I feel like they just were like, this is going to be broadcast. This is a 1 second shot. It's going to be an SD, as if they even knew what that was back then. So no one's going to see this. But now with my Blu-ray player, I can see all your mistakes.
Yeah.
Oh, and they also said that because they wanted to have this was from the commentary, that they wanted to have the nuclear power plant as a statement, and this is their most outright statement of, nuclear power plants are horrible and destroy the world, and they're bad. And that's why Blinky is there. They introduced Blinky just to say, they're killing the environment. And they said that for research, they got to explore a power plant, and they said it was like eerily similar to what they thought it was. They said
fallible human beings handling something they don't understand.
Yeah, and they said the lion braining says they walk by a sign that says, if you hear intermittent buzzing coming from this room, get your supervisor immediately. Yeah.
I mean, I think we were like a decade away from Three Mile Island and things like that. So I think nuclear power is safer now, but that was kind of one of the show's earliest targets.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's all my notes on it. I think we already did our line of the show.
Yeah, I think we're coming to the close here. Anything else from anybody?
I dislike this episode, but it is a weird freak show. Probably my least favorite of the first season.
To reiterate, like, a younger Simpsons fan may have questioned, why is Homer a safety inspector? Mm-hmm. It's canonically because of this episode.
They kept it from then on. If they ever have to name when Smithers has to say what his job is, they say safety inspector. When he explains it to the Germans, it's safety inspector.
Although he appears to be doing different things every time we see him working.
They stopped caring what his job was in season 9. But
that's true.
Technically, he is safety inspector. I mean, once they had the line in the episode where Maude dies, when Bart says to Homer, do you even go to work anymore? And then Homer just says, no. Like,
what have you heard?
Yeah, just this shitty thing of the writers just the creators saying to the audience, like, we don't care if he should be at work.
But it's interesting because no other show gets to make those kind of jokes because they don't last this long.
This is a weird ass. One last thing, there was a future reference thing they suggest to Homer jobs he could take, and they say, what about the fireworks factory? I was like, the fireworks factory?
That is a Springfield landmark.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. I did like Springfield landmarks. I did like them driving around the town. It was at the start of the episode. It was one of the first times they ever talk about Springfield is as big a part of the show as anything. And this is the first time they're like, here are things that are in Springfield. A giant pile of tires. Prison.
The tire fire is probably the only thing that's stuck around, though.
Yeah. But still, it was
at least a nice way to explore the town.
It was them saying, we're in Springfield, which is a town.
Holy crap. Wow. Thank you, Brendan Ralph, or Brendolph X. He liked the first episode of our show so much he drew a picture of me as a Simpsons character.
That's a great picture.
Oh, that's
interesting.
Great.
I love it.
You look fan art already.
Maybe we get some arts. That'll go up on there. Oh, yep. Getting a bunch of love for the show right now, but
I've gotten some tweets already, and I haven't even heard the damn thing yet.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the production cycle. I'm probably in Florida right now, and I can't hear anything over the sound of Budweiser's opening and Confederate flags being raised.
How about those new margaritas in a can?
I think those Confederate flags are getting lower these days, Chris.
It seems to be unpopular. always was in my mind, but you know.
Well, so next week we've got another Bart-centric one that also has some crazy. I'm sorry. It's another one where Homer is all over the board as well. Like, it's another one of like they don't know who Homer is.
It should be called Homer Ill-Defined.
Yeah, though it does have, I think, the first truly classic scene in Simpsons history, too.
I think outside of the Christmas special, for sure. So stay tuned for Talking Simpsons next week, Patreon donors.
So let's wrap up. Where can we find everybody, Chris?
Cantista on Twitter, baby.
H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G, but you know that.
And I am Bob Server on Twitter, and I'm telling you from this Talking Simpsons podcast to stand tall, have courage, and never give up. And I won't kill myself. Goodbye, everybody.